Okay, so last time we saw was kind of like the intro or like the build of the book. And what was really interesting is, in my words, is that a lot of people connect to tefillah outside of minyan, outside of the Siddur, and some, but they have a hard time connecting in davening. They like to more to bodidut or meditation or what have you. And some people, they connect to davening from a standpoint of like, this is what we need to do. Like, I'm doing this because I'm doing this. Like, I don't understand, like, why is there too much to talk about? But not necessarily they feel connected. They just more feel accomplished that they're doing what is the standard ask. And what we've embarking on a journey is actually seeing the Siddur as guided meditation, right? Meaning the Siddur is not, if you like to meditate, if you like to feel, then actually using the Siddur, well, either in the davening or outside of the davening, both are good, as guided meditation. And kind of the buildup of what we saw last week was breaking up Sukkah de Zimra Korbanot, Birkat HaShachar, Korbanot, Pesukei de Zimra, Birkat Kriyat Shema, Amida, Chazarat HaShatz, and Tachanun as this like ladder that is taking me through this journey where I'm trying to really connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and at every juncture I'm trying to experience something else. But not just like running, it's like it's not a running scheme through things. One of the things that we didn't point out, but one of the things that is good to point out, actually talking about with Zach about this after, is that between each juncture, we're going to have Kaddish. Kaddish is going to kind of like culminate this part of meditation and then open us up to a different meditation. Like almost like excluding Shema to Amida, except for Maariv, we're not going to have Kaddish for whatever reason. We're going to talk about it. We're also going to later in the chapters see actually like the each davening in its own structure. Right now we're looking at Shacharis as the base tefillah, but sort of like ending each part of the meditation and heading towards a different meditative scheme of things. So that was what we saw last week. Okay, so this chapter is titled Roots of Tefillah. Before exploring the Siddur's paths, let's see the very first prayer, that of Adam, right? Provides the context and the intention for our practice of prayer. So, anybody want to read our footnote? How do you italicizing, right?
Yes.
By italicizing Adam, I intend to indicate that I'm speaking of the prime human being who encompasses the existential whole of humanity, male and female, and not a particular person. Okay? So we're going to see Adam, but not, this does not mean what we call in Kabbalah lowercase Adam, but rather capital Adam, right? Capital case Adam is Adam, that's Adam and Chava, the archetype human, and not after God divided them, and there was a lowercase Adam and Chava. Okay? Fine. Prayer. Power to make things grow. Tal, you're reading.
Stagnant creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth in their making. Vihi baram. On the day God made earth and heaven. And the trees of the fields were terem, not yet. And the grasses of the fields were terem, did not yet grow. Because God hadn't yet made
matzah. No, you have to read this as God Havaya, because the pasuk says God both. Okay? Bereshit elotot shamayim ve'eretz biram biyom asot Havaya Elokim eretz v'shamayim. Okay, so you have to read it's God and Havaya together.
Okay. Because God Havaya hadn't yet made matar, rain, fall, and there was no man to work the earth. Bereshit bet.
Okay, so the first four classes of roots of love and relationship, for those who want to listen, is literally just this passage. Okay, like literally, like the understanding of what happens there, the understanding of love, is also this facet of prayer. All right. So, what's interesting is the Torah says, right? These are the making of the heaven and earth. The word for making is behi bare'am. Behi bare'am. Like there is no other word like that in the Torah. The prefix of hey in behi bare'am, you would say the translation of bibor'am would mean as they were created. Behi bare'am would suggest as they created themselves. which is like, what does that mean? And in today's English language, it would mean as they evolved, right? They created themselves. Right? These are the chronicles of the not even says chronicles, because the word, it says these are the generations, right? Elo todos shamay v'aretz v'ibarayim, as if like the heavens and the earth are having children together. And the children just evolves, right? Just like throw something out there and just let's see what happens. And then the Torah says, terem, it was not yet. Terem, there was not yet. And then takes that same word, terem, and turns it into, switches the word around, matar, rain, right? There was not yet because there was no matar. We are in the world of terem because we don't have the world of matar. What's matar?
Rain, according to this.
Yeah, what else is it? Matar is matter, right? Matter, right? Now, why is matar matter? How do you say physicality in Hebrew? Gashmiut, mm-hmm. which comes from the word?
Geshem,
which means?
Rain.
Right, so it's not a far-fetched that matter is matar, right? Mm-hmm. So, before there was matar, it's because nothing yet mattered, which is the word terem, right? Mm-hmm. It's not yet because it doesn't matter. Once it matters, then it's there. Which kind of took science about 4,000 years since this verse was written down by Moshe to realize that if it doesn't matter to you, then it doesn't exist, right? Until you notice something, until it matters, you're not conscious of it. It doesn't really exist there. Until I point it out, right? Have you seen that dial over there? That old dial of temperature for whatever old system? Mm. Right? So based on science, we'll tell you, well, if you weren't conscious of it, was it really there? That's a different conversation, but for later. But it seems like this pasuk is very this pasuk in the Torah, these two pasukim 4 and 5 in Bereishit, are really packing in so much of what we need to know in order to understand a little bit of why our prayer matters, or why our consciousness matters, or what does it mean when things don't matter yet. Okay, so let's go.
No man, no growth, no dynamic, a stagnant creation of not yet. But is the lifelessness because there is no water? The next verse negates that. And a mist came up from the ground and watered the face of the earth. It is not water needed to make things grow, but rain. And rain will only come if there is, quote, man to work. But clearly rain doesn't come because a man tills the soil. Hoeing doesn't bring rain. Apparently there is a work unique to man, which, when done to the ground, brings rain and flourishing.
Right, so the we're going to see this, but Rashi beautifully shows the build of the pasuk, because the pasuk says, right, and we're looking at it again, after the bracket, right, so they're not yet, there's no grass that didn't grow yet, because God Havaya hadn't made matar fall, and there was no man to work the earth. So there's no matar, why? Nothing mattered because there's no man. So if there's no man, so there's no rain. Okay? But apparently, why are those two things correlated? Why would rain matter? Why would man matter, right? In a cute way, if you ask my kids, I'll tell you, why is Mars desolate? Why is there nothing on Mars? Because there's no men there. Nobody to pray. No man. When I mean man, I don't mean masculine man. Apparently the world was barren and empty and not yet, nothing yet happened, almost like Earth looked exactly like Mars before there was man. Right, so let's see what Rashi says.
And he had not yet made it rain. And why had he not made it rain? Because there was no man to work the land, that is, no one to recognize the good of rains. La'kir betovatam shel gshamim. When man came and knew that the world needs them, he prayed for them. Then the rains came, and the trees and the grass grew.
Amazing. So what does Rashi say? What does it mean there's no rain? Because there was no man to experience the good of rain. There was no man to say, like, wow, rain would be good. And when man came and said rain would be good, then what happened?
It rained.
He prayed for it, and it rained. Note that Rashi did not go to Yeshiva High School, so Rashi did not say, he prayed to God, and God made it rain. Seemingly, if you're from Chas V'Shalom, you're almost upset at Rashi. Wait, what do you mean, who did he pray for? So the from people say, well, obviously God, you know, that's, he prayed for God, and God made it rain, but that's not what Rashi says. Okay? Rashi said, he prayed, and it rained. He did it by himself, right? Now, how did man know that rain would be good? That's a good question. simple answer would be, man himself is made from dirt and water. So he experienced it internally. It wasn't an external experience. It was an internal one, which made him experience the potentiality of something. Tefillah is our ability to express, to experience the potentiality of good. That's it. When I am able to experience the potential of, for a shallow example for a second, what A+ would do for me, then I express that. I'm not asking God, I'm not begging God, I'm verbalizing something that I know in potential could be very beneficial. Right? Oh, it changes very much the paradigm of how we understand prayer from the Christian word of begging, where I'm asking God for something, to a Rashi standpoint of, I'm just experiencing what potentially could be great. Not chas v'shalom davening for the Knicks to be good. Just saying it would be really good if the Knicks can stop losing. Okay? What happens? I don't know. Okay, let's go.
The addition man makes is awareness, and it brings rain when it is focused on the good to come and translated into prayer for that good's realization. To grow, the world needs not a mist automatically, mechanically, rising from the ground, but rain that comes because of man's care, investment, and the work unique to man for which he is created, prayer. He is created to make the world flourish. His creation is for the sake of the planet, fashioned in response to the earth's needs, with his job being to serve it and cherish it.
Right? Man is supposed to work the land. Now, if you didn't read Rashi, what does work the land mean? I don't know. Work. Like we all understand work. And yet, what is the work Rashi's telling us?
Prayer.
Prayer, or but don't get lost in prayer because it has a negative connotation. It has the wrong connotation for now. To express what potential could happen. Right? The universe, the world is trying to bring itself to an expression. Our job is to help verbalize that. A lot of times you're talking to a kid or even somebody who's troubled and you're trying to help him express what he's feeling. Right? The world has so much it wants to express, but it needs somebody to put it into words. That's us. That's us. That's man's job. Man's job is to be the mouth of the earth. To express what can be done, what is a desire, what is the potential of. And so much so, we haven't even got to it, but we're going to get to it, but I'm just going to cheat a little and give it away a little bit. The word in the Pasuk for there was no grass yet, there were no trees in the field, is what? Siach. They call Siach HaSadeh Terem Yeh Ba'aretz. What's Siach? Vegetation, and yet? Sicha, conversation. Sicha, v'yetzi Yitzchak, lasuach basadeh. What's lasuach? That's the expression coming down from the bottom. Vegetation in the Torah is called siach, because it's an expression that is emerging. When I have a sicha, when I'm having a conversation, if I have a monologue, that's one thing. But if we're having a conversation, I'm expressing things, you're expressing things, and I'm expressing back, right? There's an expression that's coming up, something that's inside. Same word for siach and Sicha is lischot. What's lischot? To swim. Constantly emerging. Going deep and emerging up. That's swimming. Going under and up and under. I'm constantly emerging. Something emerging. And when Adam sees the potential.
It's also
lischot is with the samich.
Never mind.
That's fine. But, obviously, in the world of Pnimius, it's not by chance. Okay? Mm-hmm. Lischot would be the invert. Instead of expressing, I'm ridding of what is needed inside. Right? And sometimes I have too much that I can't express myself, so I have to squeeze out what's not good. Mm-hmm. Right? The sin and the samach, they play these aleph ayin, these letters that are interchangeable, usually are the invert of the other thing. Right? The ani is an invert of ani. Mm-hmm. Impoverished is how other people see me, not how I see myself. Right? Ani is who I am. Ani is, you say, oh my God, he's so impoverished, right? What would be the invert of impoverished. The way I see myself.
Rich.
Anav. Right? Ani and Anav. Right? Anav is, I'm impoverished. But not financially. I don't think I'm worthy of anything. My great cooking skills, they're inherent. I didn't do them. Yeah, it's a little tweaked it here. Right? Okay, fine. Hebrew emergence, next time. Tov. Okay, this is the context of our prayers.
This is the context for our prayers and the intention toward which the sitter guides us. Praying as Earth's awareness requires two different movements of soul, knowing towards what one yearns and remembering from whence one has come.
Great. So that's what prayer is. The surface tension between where I'm headed and where I came from. Or in Chazal's words, Da me'ayin bata ve'le'an ata olech. I'm sure you've seen that on the Sidurim. What?
You also guess around
that. Yeah. Quoted everywhere, because that is the tension that we live in. That's why in Rav Kook's words, written 120 years ago, when all of modern science believed that the world was and forever will be, in Rav Kook's words, is only when the world will believe in evolution will the footsteps of Mashiach being heard everywhere. It's only when we know we came from somewhere and we're headed somewhere that we're in the context of what we're trying to talk about. Mashiach being Masiach. What's Masiach? To converse. Oh, wait, isn't that all we're talking about? Yeah, sure, for sure. Masiach, the converser. Mm-hmm. We can finally have a conversation with the world when we're at, the template is we're on a journey from somewhere to somewhere. But when the world said for thousands of years, we've been here, the world has been here forever and will be here forever, then there was never the ability to have the conversation or to have the Mashiach or the Masiach or the distorted Messiah, which kind of takes away all the Masiach part because they can't say. Not going to get into that. Great! So, great. Damein Vato Lenat Alech now has a much greater context for us of Adam coming from Adama. Adam is from Adama, and we just had Tu B'Shvat yesterday. Adam Min HaAdama. We are like the Adama. The Adama brings things into being, and we bring things into being. The Adama creates trees and plant life and fruit, and we bring ideas into the world, like love, harmony, peace, tranquility, these things that animals don't have, trees don't have. It's not like this forest is like, we should have peace, and then like have a committee, and like the ants are all, you know, roaring and trying to save Middle Earth. There's no ideas. They're too busy bringing in fruit into the world and vegetation, and we, like the Adama, are bringing in new ideas into the world. Okay. Nefesh Chaya. Conversation to create patterns uncovering meaning. Okay, the pages flip upwards.
And God formed Adam from the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life. And man became a nefesh chaya, living soul. Bereshit 2:7-9. Nefesh chaya, speech and knowing were added to him. That's from Rashi. The nefesh chaya is the element in man that is the source of his yearning, the conscious creative force, which awakens him to want to evolve himself and his world. It is the source of his ability to look beyond the present and imagine and pray for a better future. The nefesh chaya is also the source of speech. Language reflects our ability to aspire beyond our current circumstances. Internally, speech reflects our ability to stand outside ourselves, imagine ourselves improved, and goad our current selves to dream of perfection, calling ourselves forth with its calls of, you can do it, and you are meant for more. When turned outward, the ability to communicate requires of us to step beyond the confines of ourselves by assuming that another understands us. Speech then enables us to share our dreams with others and be broadened by their sharing theirs with us. Through it, we inspire one another with visions of a better life.
Hey, so before we continue, God, it says, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim et Adam, v'yadam l'nefesh chaya. Nefesh chaya, a living spirit. Unkelus translates ruach memalala. Right? Ruach memalala. A spirit that is conversing, a converser. Or memalala, a mammal. Because a mammal has a context of where it came from and where it's going. It's part of a pack. Where the reptilian world, what do you mean? I hatched myself out of this egg. You did nothing for me, I'm sorry. As Yishaya Navi says to Paro, Paro hatanin hagadol harovet betoch yoro shemar ani li ori v'ani asitini. The Nile is mine, I created myself. Only a reptile, only a tanin would say such a thing. Because of course I created myself. I hatched myself out of the zedek. I don't have context. I didn't have to suckle. I didn't have to. I wasn't an infant. I wasn't a kid that was dependent on a mom. No. That's why the first makkah for Paro is taking blood and turning it into water. Because a mammal takes blood and turns it into milk. But you're not a mammal, Paro. You're a reptile. So watch me take this blood and turn it into water. Right? And the part in the body of the mammal that turns the blood into milk is called a murmur. Vayemareru et chayei avotenu b'mitraim. You know what Paro did to our fathers, our ancestors? He murmured their life, turning them from reptiles into mammals. So, much more to reflect on there, but to stay true to what we're talking about, is that this nefesh chayei is this ability to be alive. What does it mean to be alive? Everybody's asking themselves what it means to be alive. So we already know from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy that to be alive is 42, Shem Mem Bet of Ana B'Choach. Right, we say it every Friday night when we're really alive, when we get our Nefesh Yetera, we say Ana B'Choach V'Ilu HaSimincha, the 42-letter name of God in the Tefillah of Rabbi Yehuda ben Akana, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, one of the greatest Kabbalists. But what does that mean, that 42? It means Deya and Dibur, says Rashi. Knowing and then verbalizing it. Intake, in-breath, and out-breath. Taking in, Deya, Tibur. Yod being the knowledge, Hey being the intake, Vav being how it connects to me, and Hey being the outtake. My exhaling is what I really, really want. You know, you say something I really yearn for in Hebrew. My goals, things I desire, Sheifa. Lemata Shoif. What are your goals? You know how you say to, you know how you say out breath in Hebrew?
Neshifa.
That's in breath. Neshifa. Sheifa. Same word. What are you exhaling? What are you really exhaling? Tell me. This is it. Dan Dibur, this in breath, out breath, which I'm taking in and then I'm verbalizing it. If my prayer is not coming from a place of really living my life and an internalizing level, I'm not praying. I'm fetching. God never is upset at the Jews for their claim. He's only upset at the way they say it. Vayalonu, vayitloninu. Right? Kivrota tahava. It's always about how the Jews are saying it that is upsetting God. Because if you're coming from a place of complaint, you're not coming from a place of growth, right? My commander used to always tell me in the army, I don't want to hear problems, I want to hear solutions. If you don't have a solution to the problem, when you're coming to me with a problem, keep it. I have enough problems, right? If I ever wanted to voice, or anybody ever in the army, have to voice a problem, it's only if you came with a solution. Awesome. I had the problem that I came with a solution. I never even voiced the problem. Like, this is how we can do things better. My commander would be like, you're skipping a few steps. What's bothering you? I'd be like, Tough. And that's because I was more Dibur than Deya. But the Deya and Dibur, that's what makes man man. Animals don't have that ability to contextualize their life. They just react. They're reactive. But when I say, I don't think this is a good chabura for me. Who's talking to who? I don't think this is good for me. Who's I and who's me in this story? Right? It's only when I am able to put myself outside of the context of me and talk to me, I'm able to contextualize where I am in life, and we do this all the time. Okay. I'm tired. Who are you telling that to? Okay. So there's a very strong idea here, and this ability for self-reflection is a person's evolution, and communication with others is rooted in life's own yearning to evolve. Right? Present in all creation, but reaching its pinnacle in man, through whom this drive becomes conscious and independent. Man is a dreamer and Enunciator, good, of this world's future is his quality of being a Nefesh Chaya and his identity as a dreamer, as a creature who prays, right? You pray because you dream. Very interesting because, you know, it's Esav who doesn't want to go to sleep when he's very tired, and it's Yaakov who goes to sleep. Right? Very much contrasted, the two in the stories. So you're the dreamer. You're the dreamer. Yosef is Baal HaChalamot Alazeh. Oh, you look at this dreamer, he's coming. This is the dreamer. Yeah, and the dreamer is also the one that can pray for all of us, because Yosef, at the end of the day, is the one who saves them all. But this is the idea of our life, right? We're the enunciator. You know what tshuva means? The Rambam says? What does tshuva mean? Tshuva is to enunciate. Huh? Vidui, right? Enunciate. To be responsive. Now, responsibility is a part of responsiveness. But if all you're doing is being responsible without being responsive, then you miss the idea of tshuva. Tshuva is to be responsive, right? Something happened in my life, and now I have to respond to it. Every time I'm responding to something, I'm doing tshuva. We only think of tshuva as a response to the things I did negatively. No, everybody does tshuva, Chazal say. Tshuva is a third of the world. Right? What are the other two thirds of the world? Tshuva, utfila. Ooh, wow. So, enunciating and responsiveness, and tzedakah. What's tzedakah? Taking action. Huh? Dea, dibur. Responsiveness, enunciation, action. So we're seeing that this whole concept of prayer, we're seeing this through the archetype of how God created man, how God wanted man to be and man's ability. Now science will tell you, yeah, it's consciousness, matter is just consciousness, whatever, you're all you are, your consciousness, there's consciousness of the universe. And we're like smiling and being like, yeah, right? Like, yeah, we've been talking about this. Like, what, didn't you read the Bible? Oh, you read the Septuagint in translations? I'm sorry. If you only read Rashi, explaining to you the real Hebrew word, then maybe, you know, it's not by chance that all these scientists are all Jewish, right? So the Greeks, the Newtonian physics of everything being atom, atum, small, that has no light, atum, atom comes from the word atum, right? Because they thought atom was the smallest thing. There was nothing in it, right? There was nothing, it was this, the most concealed thing, which is the word in Hebrew for atum, right? And then came a little Jew from Europe with Peis and said, no, everything's light. Everything's light, E equals MC squared, everything's light. Not everything's atum. No, come on, Habibi. Everything's light, right? So you come with your Greek philosophy, I'll come with my light. We'll see who wins. So everything's light, right? Everything, you are this, you are from it. Your consciousness, the world has evolved to a place where now you can perceive it and be conscious of itself and bring this world into expression. Yeah. Right? Knowing the difference between me and a bee is that I know what a bee is feeling, and a bee is just feeling it. A bee can't say, I think, because a bee is just thinking. I can say, I think, because I came from that bee. Which makes Shakespeare's statement, to be or not to be, much deeper. To be or not to be. Tov. I really got too deep a little, okay. Vaiter, let's go a little further, okay? Tal.
Prayer, speaking Earth's love of life, mind and speaker of creation. He made Adam out of the dust of the Adama, Reshit Bet Zayin. But true prayer never comes from visioning estranged from life. The greater the connection to origins, the more profound the integration of all aspects of himself in his expression, the more man is the mind and the speaker of the universe. One who is aware of having emerged as creation's consciousness, carrying that deep history with him, the voice of the cosmos aware that his focus is the growth of the earth from which he has come, His prayer will speak Earth's love of life and its dedication to growing all creatures, expressed by man's voice and will.
Great.
Keep going.
The verse above emphasizes that man is of the earth and that it is into him that the Nefesh Chaya is breathed. He is called Adam, as the one taken from the Adama. Human because he is of Chumus. To be a full master of knowing and speech. Adam's prayer for himself and all existence must reflect humanity's having emerged from the ground, his knowing and speech expressing and serving the earth from which he comes.
So how would I pray for rain or for peace or for prosperity? How can I stand there and say, you know, ten bracha al pnei adama, unless I'm from it? So if you're learning biology in order to know how to manipulate and control the land, you miss the whole point. But if you're learning physics and biology and astronomy in order to understand better what our goal is, because we came from this, because we're in this idea, we're part of this, we're emerging out of this, then I can bring full expression of the world to it. Then these ramifications give me a goal. But if I'm in constant struggle against the universe, against the supernova that's going to destroy us all, then I'm missing the whole point. But my ability to say, stand there and say, let's have rain, is because I'm the expression of this. So when science says, well, you know, there's a problem because you can't do a study and perceive it without altering the study because of your perception of it. Well, of course. What'd you think? You thought you stood outside of this study? You thought that you're not this expression of this? You're studying how rats react to each other and your perception is not going to change the study? Of course it is. Where do you think you came from? Right? So you're of this world. Of course you are perception. You're the universe's perception. That's what it is. Right? And God, as he states very clearly in the prophets, is the soul of the universe. You, when you say I am tired, that's I is the soul of your body. You, the soul of your body. And God is the soul of the universe. So making Adam is from the Adama, not humans out of humus. Okay? Because it allows me to experience something and bring it into existence through my perception, and we're going to call that prayer. So if I'm still stuck in that place of like, I want an A+ because I want to control it and have it and take it, well, that's Eitz HaDaat. But if I want to have A+ because I want it to be reflected that I became one with the knowledge that I studied of the world, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I'm davening for an A+. Not as another notch on my belt, not as something that I conquered, because then I'm just going to be Esav, the tired man who's always tired, because I'm always tired from conquering things. Or I can be Yaakov, who's one with the earth. And when he sleeps, then all of Eretz Yisrael, the whole entire world, wants to be under him because he's one with the earth. He's not trying to stand on it or control it. They all want him to put his head under them. Right? Am I trying to get an A+ because I wanted to conquer another notch, or am I trying to experience, get a reflection of how much I was one with this knowledge? Okay. A creation of love.
Man became a living soul. More alive than any other living being. Ibid?
That means the same quote as before, right? Bereshit 2:7.
Okay. But all this begs a question. Why make the world dependent upon man's prayer? The all-powerful God can certainly make the planet grow its plants without man's contribution. The answer lies in creation's purpose, the divine desire to create a world as a place for love.
Prayer, speaking earth, love of life.
He made Adam out of the dust of the Adama, Bereshit 2:7. The verse above emphasizes that man is of the earth. He is called Adam as the one taken from the Adama, human because he is of humus.
Wait, there's something.
Yeah, is this repeating?
Wait. Yeah, just skip to the next one.
Man became a living soul.
Man is speaking of creation. Just, yeah. This is, I don't know why it's this specific.
The answer lies in creation's purpose. Okay, I found it. The divine desire to share being in love, to bequeath my lover's existence, Mishlei 8:21. Love, the passionate desire for shared life, is only possible when both partners are real, able to stand apart from one another, and commune with each other by choice. Love is only between two who recognize that their purposes, even their identities, are only able to be realized together, possible only by fully sharing oneself with one's beloved. That sharing is manifest in joint creativity. Husband and wife in a joined life and in child, teacher and student in discovery, friends informing each other. By making a world dependent upon man, God makes man a full partner in the process of creation. In this, he makes possible a world based on love. For this reason, God does not make man. He only declares he will make man, but never actually does. We will make man, excuse me. But never actually does. In all other creations, God declares either it shall be or let it be produced, and then either he or the earth make it. With man, God declares the intention to make and then creates using a verb which means made to stand apart and outside, reflecting man's independence of spirit and creative power. God does not make man. Man will be left to make himself, to define his personal path, to discover his own self. In this, God empowers him to define and work out his identity. In this, he becomes more alive than any other creature, in the language of Rashi. He becomes unique in creation, a being whose life is his own, independent enough to love.
Right, so you can see the footnote, but this is something that I intend to one day give a class about a Torah and evolution. And while all of the world out there is explaining why evolution happened, how evolution happened, then nobody stops to explain why. And Rashi explains it very clearly. In order for us to be the conscious of the universe, we have to come of it. Right? In order for us to really understand what our potential is in the world, we have to evolve from it. And if it's going to take billions of years, that's fine. But I can only stand here actually feeling one. How could Esav and Yaakov meet? Yaakov gives Esav a gift, and Esav says, I have a lot, I don't need yours. And what does Yaakov say? You have it, I don't need it, I have all. How could you say you have everything? Only if you see yourself part of everything, says Rabbi Nimchai. You only have everything if you see yourself part of everything. The true tzaddikim, they always felt they had everything because I'm part of everything. When I really understand that I am part of this whole entire universe, then I really understand what it means to treat the animals right, Baal Tashchit. Then I really understand why when I go out to war, I can't chop down a tree. Ki Adam Etz HaSadeh. Don't you get it? That's you. Don't you get it? You're going to chop it down. Somebody's going to chop you down. You missed something very important. Only through literally taking the journey of the universe coming into expression and to reach a level where we're create a sophisticated enough human that can perceive himself and express what he's perceiving to really bring the universe's expression into being. That's why the whole world is just fighting over these concepts. What do you mean? We've been talking about it. We have this guided principle. It's called the Torah. It's guiding us through the expression of the world. I was just sharing with somebody the other day. We're like, America is all fighting about capitalism, socialism, capitalism. I said, what do you mean? 6 days a week we're capitalists, then one day a week we're socialists. And 6 days a year, six years we're capitalists, and then 1 year we're socialists. And then for 49 years, for seven cycles we do socialism, capitalism, and then over 1 year we do communism. Right? Yovel. Communism. Wow. Is it by chance that socialism, capitalism, and communism are all brought into the world by ideas of Jews? It's all Jews. Right. Right. We're right. It's going to take the world a long time, and we're going to wait, and it's going to be fine. We're not in a rush until we understand this healthy balance between socialism, capitalism, communism, and all the other isms in the world. And Judaism is not an ism, because Judaism is not another book on the shelf. It's the shelf. It's not a book on the shelf, it's the shelf. Fine, take that time. But the idea of man, I'm going to end here because I don't want to go overboard, is that man was not created, the world was not created. The world evolved and man evolved into this creation. And God says, it will, we will. Na'aseh Adam. Say, Vayivra Elohim Tadam, Perek Aleph. Right? Na'aseh Adam betzalmenu kedmutenu. Let man be in our image. Behi bari am. Let the world come into expression. So if I'm trying to control things, if my prayer is from a place of either begging or demanding, kvetching, or feeling entitled, then I miss my whole purpose in the world. Then even if you get it, you're not going to be happy. Right? Because, you know, the Jews complained that the water was bitter, so right after Moshe sweetened the waters, and they stopped complaining for 40 years. No. Right? You missed the whole point. That's why the Baal Shem Tov says, when it said they couldn't drink from the water because they were bitter, not the water was bitter, the Jewish people were bitter. Because if you have a bitter outlook on life, then everything's going to be bitter. If you don't realize that that is your reflection, you, right there, your reflection, right? And it's not coming from that place. It's coming from the place of inner. That's why it's Pasha that Rashi was very careful in his words when he said, man prayed and it came. Not man prayed to God and God gave the rain. That's like the, not our Torah's philosophy. But rather when I expressed it, it came. Now there's a very dangerous side to that. We're going to see it in the falling of the world of Bnei Elohim, Bnot Adam, and people taking whatever they want. But it's fine, it's worth it for us to have those downfalls in humanity in order for us to be able to express ourselves in this place. Where we understand that at the end of the day, if I'm cutting corners, the only person who's losing out is me. And if I'm actually doing the hard work and taking the time and investing, then the only person who's gaining is me. But for now, what we've seen is the first prayer as man, prayer in its raw initial state before it develops into siddur and whatever else we're talking about, but just what prayer is in its most primordial state, in its most untainted place of experiencing something and verbalizing it. The way brachot are supposed to be when you're holding an apple and you're going to say borei priya etz. Not the mechanical experience of, I said an apple, I have to say I ate, right? Because it came from a tree, and I said I ate, and now I could eat it. Oh, that's the mechanical side. And for those experiencing Daf Yomi, and you see like the brachos, it's like, the bracha for this is this, and like you have like 20 different versions of like what a bracha for something is. Like, what? People just made whatever bracha they wanted? Yeah, that's obvious from the Gemara. Yeah, you just said, borei minei chayim. Boreminei Zra'im, right? And it's like, the Gemara has to like formalize it for us as like a contextualize it, but yeah, people are like, what do you experience? Somebody held an apple and said, Borei Pri Tapuchim, and he ate Tapuach. Because that's what he experienced, because that's what it was. Tov. Much said, much to contemplate, much to meditate on. See you next week.